Are we living in the end time? All right, folks, I want you, don't turn the page. I want you to look at the front cover of your printout today. I want you to look at Revelation 20, verse 12, as we look at the books and the book of life. The books and the book of life. The books, plural. Book of life, singular. There is one book of life. Look at Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Books, plural, were open. Now, what you're looking at here is the story of the great white throne judgment. This is the most awesome judgment of all judgments. This is the ultimate death sentence to everyone that is standing before the great white throne judgment. Now, you remember the week where we talked about the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment, no connection whatsoever. The judgment seat of Christ was to judge about the rewards that you would be getting, that each Christian will be getting. It was the finish line of life, and this is the handing out of the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. At the great white throne judgment, there are no rewards. Has nothing to do with rewards. The great white throne judgment is set up for the second resurrection. Now, remember, we've already had the rapture. We've been caught up in the rapture a couple of sessions ago. Got it? We're out of it. We're gone. The next is, and the resurrection of the dead, of the Christians, the church age and all, resurrected from the grave. Now, we're going to the second resurrection. You don't want to have anything to do with the second resurrection. And as a Christian, you will not have anything to do with the second resurrection. Because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, all those who said yes to Christ are a part of the first resurrection. Now, second resurrection has no authority over us. For one thing, I remind you, we're out of here. We're not even down here during all of this going on. Now, will we see it? I don't have any idea. I have no idea whether it is the ultimate viewing from heaven. But I do know this, no one will be spared in the second resurrection. Now, Revelation 20:12 is talking about this, the great white throne judgment, coming before Jesus Christ, before him, meaning standing in the presence of him, for pure judgment. Now, what's the judgment for? They're going to hell, they're going to hell. Remember this. Yes, they're going to hell, they're going to hell. But Jesus happens to be a righteous judge. Are there different categories of hell? Yes. Yes. Picture this. You're talking about a righteous judge who is fair in all that goes on. We got this? So therefore, the bad people that are out there, have you noticed some are worse than others? Or if I might fall back into my Kentucky lingo, some are badder than the others are bad. You got that? Okay. So we're talking about God then looking at these individuals. The person who, what do I see? The basis of the judgment is, as I said, the severity of their crimes. But for me, you mess with a child, to me on earth, you don't get any worse than that. Children and old people, You don't do that. Okay? So I could picture me right now saying, nope, he messed with a child. Not only are you out of here, you're out of here in pieces. Go make sure you don't even get buried in the same spot. You know, but that's the human part of the judgment. But God looks at them, and God is going to judge each soul. Remember when I said that all of us are individuals? Well, all the human race are individuals. Good, the bad, and the ugly. We are all individualists. Therefore, individually, when I accept Christ, Christ then will judge me according to the facilities that I have. If I'm a little touched over here, that kind of God is going to judge me with that touching that I have over here, knowing that Larry couldn't help that. He's touched over there on that right side. That's archaic. That's an archaic term, Jesse. A little touched over there in the head, okay? So Jesus is the righteous judge, and he's going to look. So each of the lost then, what makes the white throne judgment when it's said lost, what makes them lost? They're lost by their choice. They choose to be lost. Remember when I've said from the pulpit for all of these years, you got to work to go to hell, people. It's hard to go to hell. You've got every stop sign, every red flag of life waving. You've got the angels trying to stop you. You've got life itself. You've got your friends. You've got the Lord convicting you. All the red flags and all flying. And only the people who bypass all those warnings. And here's the greatest of all sins. They have rejected love from God. Remember the woman scorned? Now, you all probably don't know what that means, but Mitch and I do. Think of it. When you hurt someone, when you've been hurt, remember how bad that it burns on the inside of you. You got that? Remember the feeling? Think of it. Think of how God would feel. He sent his son. He's given his son ultimate love. All I want you to do is say that you believe in me. You accept me as Lord and Savior. Larry, when you say yes to me, I got the rest of your life taken care of. And I want you to say yes to me because I love you. I want to bring peace within you. I want to give you peace on the outside even. I just want you to understand my love for you. So, I got the cure for cancer, Larry. I got the cure for this. I got the cure for that. But Lord, what about the cancer still killing us? I got the cure. I know what the cure is now. It's him to be with him. Woo! See it, Brother Andy. You might have to get a little excited over it tonight. You got the cure, and that cure is to be with him. It's not about this life. It's about eternity. This life is just a twinkle of eternity, if even that. But here they are, second resurrection, the dead of the unbelievers. All the bodies. Well, matter of fact, the judgment on them is so grave that the scripture says that he will even resurrect the bodies of the ocean. The ones eaten by the fishies. He's resurrecting every evil part of the human race for the final judgment. Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, great and small. It doesn't matter the stature in their society. Doesn't matter what role that they played in their nations. Great and small, standing before the throne. Got to catch this. Now, brother, I want you a little sharper tonight, right? You got to catch this. What are we doing at the throne at the feet of Christ? Are we not kneeling? Are we not there to put the crown of rewards right at the feet of Christ? Now, at the great white throne, they're standing. Wonder why they're not. They are not given the right to kneel. You reject Christ in your life, in the human existence, then come judgment, you don't have the privilege of kneeling before God. Till after that judgment, then every knee will bow and every tongue will confess He is Lord. You got that? When you stand before the judge, you think a judge is going to let you sit down in front of him when he calls you up to the bench? If you've never been in a courtroom, I can tell you that's not going to happen. You will stand there and you will keep your mouth shut. It's an awesome feeling in that room. And books were opened. Another book was opened. Now, the next book to be opened is the book of life, which is the book. Yes. Now, first thing that it does here, and books were opened. Another book was opened. This is singular, the book, which is the book of life. But the dead, you see, their names aren't in the book of life. Remember, Gene, we're talking about the righteous judge. He's showing them, your name's not in here. All you had to do was say yes to my son, but you rejected him. Your name's not in the book. Your names are in the books. What are those books? It's the books about their human life. It's the reruns. It's the diary of their life. They will be the worst witness against themselves. They are judging themselves based on their own actions, and those actions are recorded. The book of life. The dead were judged. Now look at it. Do you notice we're never considered dead? Notice all of these are considered dead already. Remember the scripture, he without the spirit is dead already. We just hadn't started stinking yet in this life. But if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're dead already. No, you're breathing. You're walking around. But you just haven't started stinking because you don't know you're dead. Now, some of them stink. Okay. The dead were judged according to what they had done. Now, listen to me. This has nothing to do with you going to heaven on your works, about what good things you have done. This has nothing to do with that. Because you and I, when we said yes to Jesus Christ, we admit that it is by faith in Christ, through the grace given to us by Almighty God, that we are saved. Therefore, it is not for our works, lest anyone would boast. It's not about our works. But we've admitted that. We're Christians. That's what makes us different. But they were doing it their way. They were doing it by works. I'm a good man. When you talk to any woman, it's very hard to find a woman that'll say they've ever seen a good man. Except for the one they're married to, of course. Yeah. And they're a little shaky. That's right. Thank you, Joey. You helped me out on that one. Watch her look at him. What'd you do? What'd you do? Okay. Judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. You know what book they rejected? The book. The Bible. It's the Holy Word of God. Do you not say, Brother Randy, when you preach or when you teach either one, do we not say that that's the truth? It is the Word of God. It is the truth. It's the book of life. Is it not through the book of life that we understand that the words recorded in the book of the Holy Bible is the very word that Christ uses when he comes at Armageddon or the battle of Gog and Magog, and he wipes them out with the word of God, the sword of God, which is God's word? That sword, that word, is the same word that you have in your book called the Bible. That's the word that gives us life. I'm almost preaching because I know it to be so true. And whoo, am I happy. But think of it this way. It's a great story, the book of life. Now, where did it begin? Let's look at it. I thought you'd find this interesting. The concept of God's having a book of life was probably first enunciated by Moses, who prayed that God would blot him out of God's book rather than dooming his fellow Israelites. Now, remember that? Israel had sinned against God over and over and over again. Rejecting grace. They got in trouble every time rejecting grace. What was grace? Grace is the same grace it is today. I'll be your God and I'll fight your battle. No, we are a proud people. We will do it ourselves, God, and show you how great we are. And they got squished every time. That's archaic. They got squished every time. You'll never live that down, will you? Now, look at Exodus 32 and 33. But now, remember, they sinned against God. God's getting ready to wipe them out. And Moses is feeling sorry for them. That's what pastors do. Lord, please, I feel sorry for them. Zap me, not them. I wonder who'd you say it was, Lord, and maybe I want to change that. Which one was it that did? But see, that's our human part. But listen to this. But now, please, forgive their sin. This is Moses praying to God. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. The Lord replied to Moses. Listen to this one. Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. You catching that? You can't answer for your friend, for your loved one. No, you're standing there yourself. You are on your own except for the Holy Spirit. I got Jesus. All right, Daniel 12:1. At that time, Michael, the great prince, Michael the archangel, the great prince who protects your people will arise. Now, I want you to listen to this prophecy here. But now, this prophecy actually deals with a leader of that time, whichever one it was. This is a prophecy focusing on a human leader, ruler at this time. It almost came to me. You all don't care who it was. But it was a leader that was a bad leader. And here he's coming in. This is a prophecy on him. At that time, who was going to destroy the Hebrew nation. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. And many people, many scholars equate this also to the second coming of Christ. But let me finish it. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Now, therefore, we know that the book of life began at the beginning of life. And everyone had a choice right then of either choosing right from wrong. We see that in the story of the Garden of Eden. Everyone has the choice. We've chosen poorly for years in our life. But think of this. And this is something you really need to take to heart. Because people really have trouble with their lives and really are down on themselves, all of this. If all the weight is based on my sinful nature, and there's much of it, if all that weight then, and I look at it, and I look at it, and I look at it, and I could measure and weigh, wait a minute, there's a lot more bad me than there was good me. There's only one good me that gets it done. And that's the me that said yes to Jesus Christ. You got that? Now, do you believe that all the weight of all the bad of my life can pull me down when I have that one time when I said yes to Jesus? All hell can't pull me down because of that. That's how much God loves us. It's because of that. So, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. So you can go ahead and put it in the era of Daniel. He's talking about the time to come with the ruler. And whoever he was, it'll come to me in the middle of something in a moment. If you hear a name spurt out, that's it. But the ultimate story of that, focus of that is, was your name in the book of life? I'm there. And all hell can't take my name off that roster. None. Here's another problem. You've got a whole denomination, several out there, but one mainly, that speaks of Michael, this archangel, as being Jesus. They believe that he is Jesus, the Son of God. So I've added this in because I want you to understand why your pastor knows that it's not Jesus. This is Michael, the archangel. Archangels, the angels were created by God to protect us. Did you know that? They're created to watch over the human race. They will intervene in situations. And it's not for you to say, okay, don't you start praying to angels. You start that foolishness. God sets them in motion to protect you. You got a life to live. I want you walking that life. You're going to mess up. You're going to do this. You're going to do that as you walk along life. We got it? As you walk along now, at a lot of points in life, you're going to mess up, but a lot of those mess ups could cause your death. Cause you total destruction. At whatever point that is, that's when God says to the angel, go down there with Larry Pete again. He is so messed up. And take care of him before he hits that curve of life up there. So the angel comes down, and I come out glowing on the other end. I got a ticket or so, but I'm glowing on the other end. I made it through. That's what angels do. Now, why your pastor does not believe that Michael the archangel is or was the pre-incarnate Christ. Here's why. Colossians 2, verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. Oh, I'm so holy. I worship the angel. Michael, come down here and do this. Scratch my back. I can't reach it back there. That's what these people are. Okay. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Oh, I'm such a good Christian. I wish my arm was longer so I could pat more of my back. You know, that kind of an attitude. Hebrews 1, 13, 14. Now here it is. But to which of the angels has he ever said, meaning God, he, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet? But I said, whoa. He never said that to an angel. It's only been said to Jesus. You got it? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? That's what they are. They are not to be worshipped. They are not, the angels are not there for you to call to your beck and call. You can't. They're sent. And God's the one that did the sending. God's the one that'll do the taking. And God's the one who loves me. Did you hear that, Jesse? God loves me. The Apostle Paul speaks of us being chosen before the foundation of the world. This is important also to you. Before anything began. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Okay. God's setting in motion salvation. He chose us in him, Jesus. Who will ever accept Jesus as Lord and Savior will be saved. The set. He is not a respecter of person. You're not going to change that. There's no other personality by which you can be saved other than that of Jesus Christ. He is the person, the one, and the only. Chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You can only be saved through Jesus. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. His love. Aren't you glad it's not based on your love? Or, on your goodness? No, it's all about God's love. See, that's why I keep saying it is so hard to go to hell. You got to work at it. It is because of his love. For God so loved. We read it every Sunday. Therefore, he says, I want you to know you were chosen. Once you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and you'll be given that opportunity to reject or accept. Oh, be thankful you accepted, folks. God reveals to Jeremiah as to when his name and his ministry was known by God. This is interesting. That, wait a minute, I'm sitting out here, I'm doing good things before I get saved, so the Lord will see my ability to do what he's called me to do. Dummy, you don't have ability to do that. You have spiritual guidance. It can only be given to us by Jesus himself. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Woo! Brother Randy, you are old, brother. Known by God before you were ever formed. Before you were born, Jeremiah, I sanctified you. Now, only God can do this. Jeremiah was chosen to be sanctified by God before he was ever born. Born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I chose your job, Jeremiah. Here's what you're going to do. No wonder he's a weeping prophet. 26 years, nobody moved. No movement in the church. I see that a lot. David speaks of when his name was written in the book of life. Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Tell me God don't know what's going on with you. I got this one hid. Nope, you don't. King David prayed to God to blot his enemies' names out of the book of life. Interesting here. Listen. Psalm 69:28. May they be blotted out of the book of life and not be listed with the righteous. Oh. David's enemies had chosen to be an unrighteous people. It was their choice. Yet their names were written in the book before the foundation of the world. Righteous judge, righteous God, had a professor, Tom Caldwell. Tom walks into class. Said, I want you to know that everybody in here has an A. Right at the first class. I leaned back and put my feet on the desk. Because I had an A. Now, the rest of this semester, see what you do with that A. Will it be an A at the end? The names were written in the book until you chose for them not to be. Yet their names were written in the book before the foundation of the world. Therefore, David prayed that God would blot out their names. You cannot blot out what isn't already there. You'll see that throughout Scripture. Blot your name out of the book of life. That's not the Christian. When you say yes to Jesus, you're signed, sealed. You're sealed by the blood of Christ in the book. You got that? But everybody's given the same chance you're given. Everybody is given the same chance. No difference. Your choice, God says, because I give you the freedom of free will or to make your own choice. Jesus tells his disciples what they should rejoice over. You ready? Page 3. I think it's page 3 for you. Luke 10, verse 20. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. That was during the healing time. And they're so excited about, you know, here they are, they're going out and they're healing and they're doing this. And the spirits are, you know, when they're casting out the demons, they're leaving and all of this. Jesus says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Not that you get to see what's going on here. Folks, I have witnessed so many miracles. I've witnessed so many in my life. But they're nothing. And I'm not putting that down as a negative. Compared, my name's written in the book. I'm in the book. The book. No other book like it. I can't be kicked out of it. I can't even have a bad case of stupids that dumb to get kicked out of it. You got it? Because I'm sealed. I accepted the blood of Jesus. I believe the blood of Jesus. The Apostle Paul declared that once a person accepted God's love gift of salvation, that it is impossible for us ever to be separated from him and his love. Listen to Romans 8, 37 through 39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Once I have that love, I'm sealed. Don't you let somebody lie to you and tell you, oh no, now you were saved then, but you know, look, you really, really messed up there. Okay? Did God not realize I was going to mess up when he was the one who knew every step I'd take and every path, and yet he saved me anyway? There's no place in Scripture where you got to keep getting saved and saved. Are you telling me that the blood of Christ didn't do it right the first time? That Jesus messed up, so therefore he's got to save you again? You all are stuck with me in heaven. Get over it. Okay. Salvation is the ultimate seal of our written names in God's book. You ready? Revelation 3, verse 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. White's fine, but actually it's clear. It's light. Light. White we relate to. But we are dazzling as light. Woo! Didn't like you out there dancing. You just dazzling as light. Or not. I will, are you, now you listen. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. This is Jesus talking. Got a lot of friends, but I don't have any friend like Jesus. And when Jesus talks, I listen. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. Wait a minute, preacher. It said, he who overcomes. A lot of times I fail. What does it mean? What's an overcomer? Revelation 12:11. They overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What was their testimony? I believe Jesus is Lord of my life. Woo! I'm saved. I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. He is the Lord of my life. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shirk from death. Shrink from death. I'm dealing with kind of the same thing here. Oh, okay, what was that? That was the idea of how can I deny the Christ who saved me? I'll let you live if you renounce Christ. If you deny Jesus, you can live. What kind of life is that? I don't want to live without Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'm saved. I will never live without Jesus. So how can I deny the Christ that's sitting there with his arms wide open, waiting? They got to get permission from Jesus to kill me. And if Jesus gives them permission, woohoo! All right. I'm going right then. In the arms of ultimate love. Jesus loves me. This I know. God has and always will make a distinction between his children and the children of the world. When you read again, folks, that God is not a respecter of person, that has nothing to do with how you're set aside. You're the child of God. You are presented that way. You will always be above. The respecter of person in the way that you get there. It is through Jesus. He will not respect, I don't care what religion you are or who you are, there's no other name that you're going to throw out there that he's going to say, okay, you can go that way. He's not a respecter of person. He gives every human being that's ever been created or born the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Everybody has the opportunity so that none will stand before him. He said, when you stand before me, you stand without excuse. Because then he goes on and says, because I have revealed myself to you. Don't you be blaming Larry Vance. Well, he just didn't do it right, Lord. Had he said it right, he didn't say Jesus like I can understand Jesus. He said Jesus, that old archaic name. The distinction is made manifest in the names written in God's book of life. Malachi 3:16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possessions, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not, the books and the book of life. They're distinct books. And I'm distinctly in the book, Gene Schaubel. You hear me? All right. Revelation 20:15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, isn't that pretty plain? Any ambiguity there? Archaic ambiguity. Amen. Revelation 13:8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. Now you think of the foolishness of that. The Lord says he's a beast. I mean, and human beings are going to worship a beast. And they choose to worship the beast rather than the beauty of eternal life. Rather than peace of heart, peace of mind, joy. They want to worship the beast. What do beasts do to you when you get through worshiping them? Oh, dried. Yeah, your supper. Or dinner, according to what part of the country you come from. Right? Okay. The inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. I'm in the Lamb's book of life. The world is in the beast book of the dead. Got that picture? Revelation 17 verse 8. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world. Remember, you had to be in it. Everybody had the same chance. Many chose to be put out of it and were. Will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. Okay, what's that? Is not Satan chained for the 1,000-year millennial reign? Is there not perfection on planet Earth, this Earth? New heaven, new Earth hadn't arrived yet, folks. The rapture's taking place. We've gone and we've done, the Lord has done what he's doing with us in heaven, preparing us to return with him on the second coming. That we will be getting into. The second coming of Christ. That's when you're going to start seeing action take place. But then again, the righteous God, 1,000 years. And if you're reading it, it sounds like the Garden of Eden on planet Earth with Christ in control. Brother Randy, you got your mic on? Tell us what happens at the end of that 1,000 years to the human race who has lived in perfection, ultimate love of Christ at that 1,000 years.
Satan will be released from the abyss, and he'll raise an army that can't be counted that will march upon Jerusalem and Jesus and all the saints because they don't believe.
Yeah. What he said. It will be a mess. And do you know something? We will be in that 1,000 years, you and me, because we've already come back with Christ. But all of that cannot affect us. It doesn't affect us. But we're a part of the reign. That's the battle of Gog and Magog is right at the final end. The battle that was never fought. Because as soon as... Now think, they've lived with all the gifts from Christ for 1,000 years. All of these people on planet Earth say, man, we got it good. Satan is released and he builds an army, as Randy said, can't be counted. And they all turn in on Jesus. That sounds about right, don't it? But God comes down and that's when he says, that's it. And the army disappears. That's it. Says, that's it. My name is written in the book. The book. If I don't see you before then, I'll see you in heaven. God bless you.